Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Matt Townsend Show. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Townsend, your coach, your guide on the side. Remember, our goal on this program is to help you find a leg up in this crazy thing called life. We didn't come with a manual, right? We didn't have this tool book, this guidebook that would walk us through every step of our lives. So we have to figure it out. And on this show, we like to bring you some real life solutions, some tools to help you. Today, we're talking about your teens and how to reach your teenagers. We've gone through, there's a lot of great examples in our lives. You know, everybody has had probably one human being that related to them, that connected to them, that elevated their sense of being, their sense of value, their sense of worth. And so on the program today, that's our goal, is to see if we can't bring you a little bit closer, maybe to your own teens. So who better to help us? Who better to help us than Dr. Barbara Greenberg, who's joining us on the phone? Dr. Barbara Greenberg, she's a PhD and is a teen, adolescent, child, and family psychologist. She's licensed in Connecticut and New York. And after 21 years of running an inpatient adolescent unit at a private psychiatric hospital in New York, she moved on to private practice consulting work, writing, and working in the media. She currently has a private practice in Fairfield County, Connecticut. She frequently consults partners and, you know, does a lot of work with the news networks. She's been on every station you can imagine. Basically to help the producers learn, get skills and tools, as well as interviewing her about how to help adolescents, children, and families. She's passionate about her work as a psychologist, loves to work with teens and their parents. She's also the co-author of Teenage as a Second Language, A Parent's Guide to Becoming Bilingual, and the co-author of several how-to e-books about raising teens. You can get those books at her website, which is drbarbaragreenberg.com. drbarbaragreenberg.com. Dr. Greenberg, welcome to the Matt Townsend Show.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
You're right. I'm very passionate about this topic.
Well, we need it.
For years.
That's so great. We really do need it because, you know, it's hard. Teens sometimes, they get a bad rap, but we've all been there, right? We were the teen that the people used to laugh at, and now we have our own. Where do we need to start? As we start thinking about, you know, being the parent of a teenager, what do you think is the most important thing that we need to know as a parent?
I think the most important thing to know about being a parent is that our teens are going through a real struggle, and that there is a way, though, to, and there are some really clear and surefire ways to get through to them and have them open up.
Oh, that's what we need.
And if we can discover, and I will help with those,
yes,
because I've worked with teens for three decades now, things will be a lot easier for both parents and also for the teenagers.
Yeah, so it does, it's
so
not hopeless.
It's a struggle for the parents.
Right.
It's a struggle for the teens as well.
I think that's a great way to look at it because in the end, it seems like they're speaking a different language, but it's also, it's not like we can't learn this language.
That's
and
right.
We probably don't need to know everything. We need to know a few things. And what I like also is that there's hope.
That's right.
I mean, you've seen, I'm sure, in your practice, pretty much everything you could see.
I have. I really have.
And yet, you still sit here with hope.
I sit here with hope always. I see these kids when they're 13 and they come back to say hello to me when they're 23 and they're totally different people. And the relationships with their parents are totally different. So absolutely,
yeah,
there's hope.
It seems like there's an interesting convergence that takes place with teens. And I always see it around, especially, I don't know what it is, when somebody comes to me and they're like, hey, Dr. Matt, I'm having this really hard time with my teenage daughter, da, 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 and they give me all this stuff. I can pretty much always ask, is she 14? There's something about like 13, 14. Yeah.
I really agree with that. There's something about the age 14 that's really difficult, not only for the parents, but for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really rough time. I would say that 14 is probably the most difficult year. Because kids are really trying, they have just realized that they're not little kids anymore, that they're teenagers, and they become panicked because,
yeah,
they become aware of it.
I remember missing oh man, why can't I play anymore? I want to play. I want to go play with my toys that I played with as a kid. I remember literally like longing as an adult, not as a youth, as a teen, to go back and be able to play. I have guys that work here that they all wish they could go back and play with their Pokemon.
You know, it's such a good point because it's so true. They still, it's such an in-between age that they're not ready to be adults. And they're not ready to be teens, and they still would like to be kids. I have so many stories of kids who'd like to go back and play with their Legos or play with their dolls and feel like they have to hide that because they're 13 or 14 now. Adding teen to their age is such a big step.
It seems like it adds a social pressure because then you may still want to go play with your cars, your matchbox cars, but then you get the social presence of your friends saying, what? You're doing what? And so it's all of a sudden, it's like, it's what everyone else is expecting now starts to matter to you.
That's right, including and especially, and this is one of the big secrets that we'll get to later, especially what you think your parents might be expecting of you.
Mm. Isn't that pressure?
Little kids think that their parents don't want them to be little kids anymore either.
Yeah. That's true, huh? They want, and yet too, we as the teenagers are changing, going through this. It's not like the parents; they're also having to change. You have to parent differently.
That's right.
And it's almost like we're expecting them to grow up, but the parents aren't necessarily seeing the need to change.
That's right. Parent, you can note a lot of things are changing. You don't schedule your kids' play dates anymore, for the most part. You don't have the same control that you had when they were little kids. They start to make many more decisions on their own as they start to get into the teen years. So parenting absolutely has to change.
You know, what other change? I mean, those are big changes. Just I didn't even think about the play date thing.
Well, they feel like they have to give up play and be much more serious. Their bodies are changing, which is no small thing.
Well, and some parents can't let go of some of this, right? I mean, it's like you still want to treat me like I'm a kid, like I'm a baby, but, you know, I'm turning into a man. You got to leave me alone, Mom.
Right. And think about it. When parents get upset with their kids, think about what they say. You're acting like a child. Well, they are children.
Yeah. And again, there's no handbook. One of the reasons we do this show is because there really isn't a handbook. I mean, everybody's so different, and you're not born with a specific book on your child. So I kind of feel like people need to hear enough, learn enough, grow enough to be able to make their own book.
That's right. The children come out differently. They're born with different temperaments. You know, we have kids who are shy. We have kids who are more extroverted. But there are a few organizing principles or a few things that guidelines that can help us with teenagers of all temperaments.
Oh, that's what we need, huh? In fact, let's get into, so what are some of the tips that you know, help the parent? What are some things that, you know, might be a simple guide to a parent right now? Next block, we'll get into the secrets that the teens have that, if we knew as parents, it would make a big difference. But what are some of the things that we as parents should, you know, be basically focused on?
We need to focus on making sure that our kids have balance in their lives, that they not only have a place to, that they're not only doing well in school, that they're not only, that they're also getting some outside time and some friendship time. Hmm. And also, especially now in the age of social media, that they're not spending all of their time on their computer either. We really have to look for balance in our kids' lives, because the kids who become resilient and the kids who thrive are the ones who have multiple avenues where they can flourish and get pleasure.
Oh, it's so true. I had a client in, and she's so worried because her son, all he wants to do is spend his time on the computer. And
that's a problem.
It's a huge problem, and she doesn't know what to do. What do you do, Barbara, as a parent, to get your kid off the computer, especially if they really like love it? Like if they love it, and if they're introverted anyway, the idea of going out and playing with a bunch of friends may not be what they want to do. They want to just
That's
keep
right.
digging deeper into whatever they're doing.
It's very funny. I just came back from doing a workshop out west, talking to parents just about this very topic. They ask about it, so it's so timely.
Yeah.
Well, you really must, not only should, but must limit the amount of social media time that kids have.
Is that because true with video games as well?
Absolutely.
You must limit it, is what you're saying.
Limit it. And if you need to establish some sort of rule of thumb, I always like to say, and parents can look at their own individual households and children and what time of year it is, but I would think about 1 hour a day of screen time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of screens that our kids look at because they're living, that's the virtual world. They're not looking people in the eye.
Yep.
They have a lot of friends, in quotes, that they haven't met that they're talking to. And we really can't monitor everything that's happening there.
No.
Not that we should be monitoring everything, but we should be monitoring a lot.
Yeah.
And it's really not a great place for children to make their mistakes and learn from them. I mean, it's important for kids to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But social media in the virtual world is not the place to do that.
Yeah, we need to let them make it in the, you know, backyard.
That's right.
Go break a window.
It's a much less risky place.
It's so true. In fact, we just had a media professor that came on, and she basically said the same thing. There should be a limit. Normally, I think she was saying it was like 9 hours of media time there and screen time they're getting a day on average. And she thought at the very most you should give them two. So 1 to 2 is, it's a big deal, which, by the way, is about a quarter of what they want. So, yeah, pushing back the entire ocean.
It's so addicting, but I think it's so important for kids to get outside and get some exercise and for kids how to learn to deal with free time without being on a computer. It's important for kids to learn what to do. It's important for them to learn how to be bored, how to maybe read a book, how to draw a picture, how to do something other than to be entertained.
I totally agree. It's learning some other coping skills. We're talking with Dr. Barbara Greenberg, who is a teen, adolescent, child, and family psychologist. We'll be back. More talk about adolescents and teens. She's going to give us some secrets that the teens won't tell you. So parents out there, these are the things that the kids aren't ever going to tell you, but man, she's going to unleash some pretty interesting, some myths she's going to blow up. Hey, also, another thing to do, go check out her website, drbarbaragreenberg.com. On that site, she has some very, very affordable ebooks that you can do that will talk about these myths and some of the things that we need to know about how to get our teens to talk. We're talking teens today, folks. This is the Matt Townsend Show. More when we come back right here on BYU Radio. Welcome back, friends, to the Matt Townsend Show. We are joined by Dr. Barbara Greenberg. Today we're talking teens and how to help raise healthier teenagers by understanding them better. Dr. Greenberg is a teen, adolescent, child, and family psychologist. She's licensed in Connecticut and New York. She spent many, many years working in an inpatient adolescent unit at a private psychiatric hospital. So imagine, she's seen it all. But now what she does is she goes out and she consults with news networks, television stations, producers to be on shows like this one so that she can teach us, educate us, and inform us as parents how to reach our teens in a better way. Go to her website, drbarbaragreenberg.com, drbarbaragreenberg.com. Wonderful site. And on the site, you can get some of her ebooks. Just a great set of tools we all need, really. To be able to parent these kids sometimes we don't understand. Dr. Greenberg, welcome back to the Matt Townsend Show.
Hi.
Hey, talk about this, the secrets. So you're telling us that there are some secrets that teens won't tell their parents.
Absolutely. And these are the secrets. So parents out there should listen very carefully because I'm going to tell you now and
here we
may
go.
Not tell them again in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, the first secret is that teens really do want to talk to you. It's just that they want to do it in their own way, and they want to control the rate and pace at which they give you information. And I will get to that later.
So they really do want to talk to you.
They really do want to talk. And that's based not only on my clinical experience, but also on the research.
Yeah. That's comforting. Mm-hmm. But I guess what happens is we don't do it on their time. We don't do it on their pace.
That's right.
And we just kind of badger.
Exactly.
Or whatever we use. Yeah, whatever technique we use. That's great. So teens do want to talk. It's just their time, their way, their tenor. Great. That's a great secret.
But you really put it perfectly. Their rate, their time, their pace. The second myth is that they really do care very deeply what parents think about them. Now, it doesn't appear that way because they don't act that way necessarily, but they care very deeply, and the last thing that they want to do is disappoint you.
Huh. Which is maybe why they're not ready to share certain things.
That's right.
Because they're afraid it'll disappoint you, or you'll react to what they're saying, and they don't want to disappoint you.
And what teenagers tell me is that they would much rather have their parents be angry at them than disappointed in them. That disappointing their parents is the most painful thing of all.
Really?
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, especially given the way they act.
Yeah.
Yes and no answers, and you know, with a little bit of defiance, but they really do care very much about their parents approving of who they are at this point in their life, even though they're not sure who they really are yet.
Right. Well, and again, you're there, you know, you've been there the longest. You've stood there the most. You've invested the most.
Right.
So, yeah, no wonder they don't want to disappoint us. Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So teens really do want to talk, and they really do deeply care about what the parents think.
And wait until you hear the third.
What is it?
The third is that they really do want you around, and they act, and it seems so contradictory given the way they act. They act like, you know, they don't want to be seen with you.
Get out of here.
They don't want you around when their friends are around. But in fact, they do want you around. They don't necessarily want you following them to their room,
mm-hmm.
or they don't necessarily want you joining them when they're with their friends and telling stories about your own teenage years, but they do want to know that you're around in some way.
Wow.
That, to me, was the biggest surprise of all.
Yeah, because it seems like they're always trying to escape us.
Right.
We had this big 4th of July thing planned. We were going to take all these kids to this concert, watch the fireworks. I was so excited. We were going to dinner, and one by one, they start peeling off to go be with their friends. And then it's just, in the end, it was my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, 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 wah. Right. Just husband and wife.
But they came home, right?
No, they always come home.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was because they needed to eat.
No, they want to be with you too, but they're not going to. It would be so very unteenage and so uncool to tell you that they want to be around you, right?
Yeah, totally. Isn't that fascinating? They really do want to talk. They do deeply care, and they really want you around. Which having that knowledge means that maybe you could relax, parents, because they're there. They want it. It's just relax.
Yeah. And I know there's probably a lot of parents out there now who are listening to us talking who are thinking, oh, no, that may be true of other people's children, but that's not true of my kids. I have to tell you that this is true of most teenagers.
Yeah.
And I stand firmly behind all of those.
Well, it's interesting because I guess what happens is we're hurt. We're hurt that they're growing up, they're pulling away. So maybe what happens as parents is we're awfulizing it. You know, we're turning it into this, they're this arch enemy where we just don't want to like them. We don't want to like them.
That's right, because we feel, in a sense, we feel like parents feel rejected, but they feel like they're bad parents if their kids aren't talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is this very, like, vicious cycle starts where kids aren't talking, so parents start asking more and more questions.
Yeah.
And that's the kiss of death. That's when kids start retreating more.
Yeah, because your intensity's going up.
That's right. They don't like that.
It is. And it's more out of fear, isn't it? We're so afraid. Like, yeah. Where were you? Who were you with?
It comes from a place of anxiety, and kids sense that. And it's intense enough to be a teenager. And combine that with parents' intensity, and it becomes overwhelming for them, for the teens.
Yeah. How do we know then what to do? What are we supposed to do when, you know, they're acting completely opposite of these myths that you're blowing up? But, like, how do we know what to do as a parent?
You know, it varies tremendously from situation to situation. But you have to keep in mind that they do need you, that they are probably ill-equipped to deal with every situation that comes their way.
Yeah.
You provide opportunities for them to talk to you and be around you. And if you provide enough opportunities, especially driving in the car is a good one.
It is.
You're a lot more likely to open up when they're not making eye contact.
Yeah.
Drive with them. Be with them. Ask them to come outside and look at something with you. Make it about you, but be present with them. And then things really will spill, and they will start to talk. That's just one of the way to get them to start talking.
And it can be anything. I just had a chance. My son needed new glasses, and because I have glasses, it's assumed that I would go. I'd be the glass guy. So we got it, but it's time. What it does is it gives you a lot of time together. And then you got to go back. I mean, it just something as simple as just a dentist visit or a doctor's visit, it's time.
And that's a really beautiful example because that's a neutral experience.
Yeah.
You're going to get eyeglasses, so you get him talking. And once he starts talking, he might start spilling about other things that are important in his life.
Yeah.
You're not sitting down to ask him questions. You have a joint mission. You're going to do something innocuous, like going to get glasses.
So true.
And that's when the conversation begins. Even as you walk into the ophthalmologist's or optometrist's office together, while people are walking, it's a good time to talk. You know, you see many people walking together in the morning, and they spill their secrets, and that's because they're not making eye contact.
Yeah, it seems like, especially with boys. I have five boys. I have one daughter, five boys. And it seems like if I just put a ball in their hands and we start throwing a ball around, I can get them talking about anything.
That's terrific.
Because they don't even know they're talking. They're just
they forget that they're talking after a while, and you don't want to remind them.
Yeah.
You just want to keep it going.
See, that's one of the parent secrets that we never tell our kids. We're playing them.
We distract them, and then we get them talking. And another time is right before they're going to sleep and they're getting tired, they like to talk also because they forget that they're doing it.
Yeah, those barriers come down, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Maybe that's why they have the myths or these secrets is they're trying to play independent, yet they're highly dependent.
That's right, and that's the conflict.
So that's what we're trying to get is just get that they're playing strong and independent, but really they're still dependent. But let them have the facade and then help them grow.
Let them have the facade. Let them save face and think they're being a cool teenager and they're acting in the role of teen, but know that they really still need you very badly and just as much, if not more, than when they were younger.
That's great. And it seems like you would, if you were just attuned, is a word we use on the show a lot, if you were just attuned to what they're feeling and saying, if they keep getting more and more angry, that's probably a sign you're not, and we'll get into talking, but that's probably a sign you're not talking on their time, their tone, their tempo. You're getting too close.
You really understand adolescence, don't you?
Yeah,
because it's all about attunement. It's all because what kids say to me the most is my parents just don't understand me.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. Not only everybody wants to feel that somebody is attuned to them, that they're understood. So what we really need to look at not only what our teens are saying, but their nonverbal language too. If you're talking to a teenager and their body, for example, is pointed toward the door, that means they really have had enough of this conversation.
Let me go to the door.
To end it.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? We're gonna get into that. We're talking with Dr. Barbara Greenberg. Go to her website, drbarbaragreenberg.com, She's got ebooks on all of this. Very, very affordable. Honestly, when you see somebody that's giving their content away this inexpensively, you can see they're very mission-driven. They're trying to change lives. We're going to take a break, come back, and continue talking with Dr. Greenberg about how to get your teens talking. Now that we know some of their secrets, we're going to get them talking. This is the Matt Townsend Show. You're listening to us right here on BYU Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the Matt Townsend Show. Hey, today, folks, we're talking about teens, and sometimes we feel like they're just from another country, another world. Well, you know what? They're not. They're from you. They're your fault. But we need to understand and we need to connect with them better. We are talking with Dr. Barbara Greenberg, who is a teen, adolescent, child, and family psychologist from Connecticut and New York. She's licensed there to practice. She has her own private practice there. She does consulting work, a lot of writing and media work. She's been on all of the national channels and stations. She's doing everything she can to get the message out there. She's also the co-author of Teenage as a Second Language, A Parent's Guide to Becoming Bilingual, and is also the co-author of several how-to e-books about raising teens. You can get all of those books at her website, drbarbaragreenberg.com. Great place to just get a bunch of information, as well as she teaches classes, workshops. So, Dr. Greenberg, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Wonderful to be speaking with you.
Well, I appreciate that. And we need the help with the teens, because, again, I don't think we speak their language necessarily. So talk to us about talking with teens. You said earlier one of the secrets, the secrets basically are that they do want to talk. They really do care, and they really do want to be around you, but we've got to do it more on their terms instead of our terms.
Yes. So this is where the actual ways of getting them to talk and to start talking and keeping them talking come in.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
People are ready to hear the ways to get them to talk?
Because to me, again, it's if you want them to talk, you can try to do it your way. But if it hasn't worked for 3 years or whatever, then, you know, change. Learn.
Right. And if what you're doing works, then power to you.
Keep doing it. That's right. Okay, good. What are your tips?
So the first, I'll give you some of the tried and true that have worked. The first one is, and this is obvious even for any age group, not to ask questions that lead to a yes-no answer.
Sure.
And I will tell you that teens tell me that what they feel that parents ask them questions about school constantly, that 90% of questions are about school. How was school? Did you like school? How did that class go? And the kids are more than just about school.
Isn't that
true? That's number one.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you don't have to ask about school, do you? I mean, you could ask about their day. You could ask about anything else that might get you more insight than school.
Right. And you know what's a good one, and especially one that the girls love? So tell me about the drama. The girls love that.
Ah, cool.
You know there's always going to be drama. But I have to tell you that when they get home from school, or get home from practice or whatever it is, that they need some decompression time first before you start talking to them. We all need a little bit of decompression time.
Totally.
But they're very quiet when they first enter your car and they first enter the house. That's okay. Let them have a little bit of time to relax before you start kind of showering them with questions.
Yeah.
It's sort of as an interrogation.
Yeah, and shine a light on them. Okay, here we go.
And the second thing is you want to use with very subtle conversation openers, and you don't want to ask direct requests for information. You want to be indirect. The reason kids don't like questions like, how was your day? Tell me what happened, is because it feels like a demand, and they want to have control over something.
Mm-hmm.
They feel very little control. Teenagehood just kind of snuck up on them, and they're trying to figure things out. And they want to at least have control over the amount of information that they divulge or what they talk about. So to get them talking, I have some conversation starters.
Yes.
So, for example, instead of saying something like, how was your day, you might want to say something as harmless as, did your soccer shoes work out? Were they the right size? Were they comfortable? And that will lead into a discussion of the soccer shoes and the soccer game and how they're liking soccer. Or, for example, and this is one that I used to use, instead of asking my daughter, you know, how was that date? Was that boy driving drunk? Was he speeding?
Yeah.
I would say, he seemed really funny.
Yeah.
Is he funny? You know, so that's much more harmless and much more indirect.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a good one, right?
Well, and it seems like it'll open it up because right or wrong, they're going to correct it. No, he was a bore, Mom. I've never met a more boring guy in my life. Then, so you're going to get information. Or if he was funny, she's going to want to go there because it sounds like you picked out something good.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
And also, after, if they're spending time with a friend even, or somebody of the opposite sex, and they went, let's say they went to see a movie, instead of saying, how did that go? Did that go okay?
Yeah.
What's that friend like? I can't stand that friend. Tell me about that friend. If instead of that, you say something like, so would you recommend the movie?
Interesting.
Then something like that will get them to start talking. And then if you listen, and that's the other point, you have to listen. I always say, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when they're teenagers.
That's right.
You have to listen because kids say that parents interrupt a lot and steal the conversation from them.
I love it too because your ears weren't meant to close.
That's
right. And your mouth was. So shut it.
Right. That's a good point.
It's so true. But see, what I love about that too is this indirect, I've never really thought about that way. I always call it sneaking in the back door or the side door.
Yeah.
You don't go right in the front door. Okay, so how was the guy? Did he kiss you? What are we doing? You sneak in the side. Tell me about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get them kind of in the realm. But it also shows that you're paying attention enough to know that they played soccer and the shoes may have been a problem, or that they went to a movie.
Right. That you're also asking their opinion. So would you recommend the movie because they feel respected that you're asking their opinion?
I love that. You're asking an opinion of a teenager, and in reality, you're just opening a door.
That's right. So it's sneaky, isn't it?
Yes, you are the devil.
It's because you're coming from a place of good intentions.
Yeah.
So it's all okay.
I love it. No, I think that's great. Great tips. Give us some more.
Okay. Now, so a good mantra to walk around with is to keep things light, not to make things heavy and intense. Just keep things calm and light. And here's one I love and one that most parents, including me when I was raising teenagers, had a tough time with, but you must do this, is keep your emotional level down. Once you start getting agitated and upset about something your child is telling you, nothing good will happen. All that will happen is that the conversation will end. Your kid will likely run to his or her room, slam the door. You may go chase your child. There may be a screaming fight, so you must keep the emotional level down. You see, your goal is to get the information, to find out what's happening in your child's life. If you want to have an intensely emotional reaction, you can, but don't do it with your child.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Nothing good ever comes of that.
Well, they already kind of associate us with drama anyway.
They do.
So
they
the
really
minute you bring
do.
Emotion.
They don't like drama.
No.
Drama is what's characterizing their teen years. They have so much of it with their peers.
Yeah.
Home should be sort of a drama-free zone.
Oh, I mean, honestly. If you think about it, it's like you wouldn't, I don't know, it's almost like you're describing talking to a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to get way emotional with an animal. If you do, you're going to set it off. It's like be careful. Just respect them enough to know that they're going to do it their way.
Right. It's such a good analogy because with horses, you don't want to sort of spook them. You
no.
don't want to sneak up on them.
Yeah.
Startle them.
Yeah. But we're so amazed that we sneak in. You know, we've read their diary. We've done all these things, and then all of a sudden, they don't talk.
Right.
And then we demand talk.
Right.
And we get mad.
And the truth is it's very, very tricky when you do something like read their diary or find out information that you're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
Because then you don't know what you want to bring it up, but you can't. Mm-hmm. You found it out secretly.
Don't you see that as a therapist? I see it a lot with my clients where you a lot of times end up knowing more than you should know.
Absolutely.
But you don't just let them know you know. You just kind of hold it on and let it out. Let them find a way to get it out.
That's right. Or if you're going to do something like monitor what they're doing on their text or social media, let them know that you're doing that so at least you can talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's great.
There's nothing good that comes of being sneaky and having information that you can't talk about, because eventually they're going to figure out that something is amiss. They're going to sense that.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think we underestimate how attuned they are.
They are attuned.
They get it. Yeah.
And can I tell you something else about attunement, since we both really love that concept?
Yeah.
Teens, in terms of attunement, teens are acutely sensitive. In fact, with their parents, not necessarily with their peers, but with their parents, they see anger where it doesn't necessarily exist.
Huh.
So they're very sensitive to our emotional reactions, which is why it's even more important to keep the emotional level down.
Interesting. Yeah, they might magnify it, huh?
That's right. They do. And in fact, they do.
Isn't that interesting?
Their attunement level is a little bit off. They're a little rejection sensitive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they are rejection sensitive. That's a great way to put it. They're also, they personalize it. So the rejection is them, even if you were angry at the traffic.
Right, because they're still so egocentric. It's because they're so self-conscious at this age. They remember the teen years. We were all so self-conscious, like thinking, where is this body coming from? Who am I?
Yeah.
What's this facial hair for guys about?
That's so fascinating. I guess, so give us, we have about a minute. What would you say is the, what's the one thing? We call it the one thing that might be the biggest thing.
The most important thing is to be a good role model for your kids, because if they see that you can talk about sensitive topics well without getting upset, and you can talk about topics in a non-judgmental way, they will follow suit. Parents are more important role models to kids than peers and siblings and celebrities.
Yeah.
Parents don't know how important they are in their kids' lives, and they have to know that.
That's so true. And, you know, be the role model and let them know you're there. Just be there.
Be there and be respectful and praise them when it's possible.
That's so great.
And model forgiveness and don't underreact or overreact.
Yeah.
And a final thing is, be very careful when talking about their friends, because when you talk about their friends, the way they hear it is that you're talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you reject my friends, then you're rejecting me.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's why,
a big deal.
If they're thinking that they're not that crazy about that friend either, they will still defend that friend because they feel like you're talking about them.
That's right. That's so true. Oh, man. Again, Dr. Barbara Greenberg is her name. Go to her website, drbarbaragreenberg.com. Tons of ebook or information and some ebooks there that'll help you walk through these steps that she's taught us if you didn't have a chance to write them all down. Barbara, thank you so much.
Pleasure. And I also want to say my Twitter handle is Parent Teen Doctor with two T's in it.
That's great. Parents Teen Doctor with two T's.
As people can follow me, because I write articles almost every day for different journals and magazines about teens.
Wonderful. Keep up the great work, Barbara.
Thank you.
We'll have you on again.
Super. Thank you for
having me. You bet. Okay. Good stuff, my friends. Woo! See, teens, they're not as messed up. Really, honestly, when she's talking about that the whole time, I'm like, yeah, that was me. I think my mom handled me like a master. I never knew she was even working with me. We're taking a break. This is the Matt Townsend Show, enlightening you on the teen years and your wonderful teens. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. Sean's going to take us on a journey, teens now versus then. This is the Matt Townsend Show. You're listening to us right here on BYU Radio.